Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Friday edition
Friday.
Of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. It's Friday. That means we'll have JC. Also, second portion of the show, we're going to have our man Antonio Langham from the 1992 National Championship game, does some radio over there in the state of Alabama. We'll have him talking about the game this weekend, actually tomorrow. We're also going to be joined by a Gator grad named Brian Edwards. He is a senior handicapper at VegasInsider.com and a managing editor at MajorWager.com. Get his thoughts on all these championship games and let him and JC battle it out, see who has the highest winning percentage. Good morning, JC. How are you?
Yeah, hey, Shane. We have made it to the championship weekend, and now back in September when we were really hopeful for a football season but not certain, we got the good news that the ACC was going to go ahead with the football season, and here we go with the SEC an hour later basically saying the same thing. And then after some pressure, the Big Ten and the Pac-12 joined in. But I tell you, it's been an amazing run for some of these teams to get through this. A lot of teams have not been able to play a full schedule. Obviously, there's been so much adversity and a lot of stress on these guys. You know, they played they've been basically together since summer. They haven't been able to go home to their families for the most part, and a lot of teams have shown us that playing football is not their priority with the idea that they're going to be not playing some games this weekend. But we do have championship weekend right here, man. I mean, this is the best weekend of college football. This is the one we've all been waiting for. We were hopeful that maybe the college football folks would stretch out and make some changes and maybe have more teams playing for the final spots in the playoff, but we're going to have four of them. And maybe we'll get some answers as to who those four will be.
Yeah, it's should be a good weekend.
I'm excited.
You know, I think it's upsetting a little bit because I think the story of college football this year was Coastal Carolina, Sun Belt Championship game against Louisiana, who's another very good football team. That game has been canceled due to I don't know if they had a guy test positive or tracing or what have you. Yeah. But it's a shame we won't get to see that game because I was looking forward to that one.
Yeah, so in that conference, you're gonna have dual champions. I guess they'll have bowl games. But you know, it's been a magical season, especially for Coastal Carolina with the way they were able to be featured nationwide. College football game day came there, ESPN. Their coach got a lot of headlines. And certainly their game against BYU was one of the better games that we saw this year. I mean, this was a very intense game, very physical game. You would think that BYU and Coastal Carolina had played for years, right? I mean, with the way they were hitting each other and going after each other, and it was a good thing to see. But I think the anticipation is obviously for these big championship weekend championship games in these conferences this weekend. And, you know, Clemson and Notre Dame has gotten a lot of attention because of what Notre Dame was able to do to Clemson and win that game at South Bend. And now Clemson has the best quarterback they've ever had come back and is healthy for this game. And I really am interested to see how Notre Dame can hang with them. I mean, I'm not as interested in that game, obviously, than the Alabama-Florida game. But that is something I mean, this is the first time, QB, I've actually looked forward to a Notre Dame game and thought, yeah, this could be something that I might actually watch past halftime, right? Because Notre Dame, look, they just don't play with these guys and haven't shown us any history of being able to compete in this setting. And here they are right on the top of the ledger.
Yeah, we got a Facebook Live brought to you by Mellon Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. Our man Trey, let's this, JC. He says, good morning, guys. Please send some positive vibes my way tomorrow morning. I'm asking for my girlfriend's hand in marriage. I hope she ain't watching. Because we just broke the news.
Oh, my God. Well, you did. Look, Trey, I mean, good luck to you. We wish you all the best. I wonder if you know, he's going to ask her, right? He's not getting married, so he's going to ask her.
Right.
I don't see. Yeah, okay. Well, that's a good
thing. I hope his girlfriend's not watching the show because now she's not going to be surprised.
Yeah, I would think he might know that she isn't. So,
all right. Well, congratulations, Trey. JC, real quick, Alabama had another phenomenal year in recruiting, of course. The Gators, I think a lot of people say they're ranked sixth or seventh in the country. You know, I saw some stuff yesterday, whether it was on Twitter or Facebook or whatever. They posted, like, that Deion stole one of the Florida Gator players. Did you see that?
I did see that.
Okay, well, first of all, that's where the media can spin things the way they want to spin them, okay?
It's so ridiculous.
The kid did not qualify academically to get to Florida.
Exactly.
So he had to go SWAC, which is nothing wrong with that.
No.
But the way they made it out, let me tell you something. I can't wait to watch Jackson State. I watched those teams coached by Deion in Texas. I hope he's got some good assistants is all I got to say because it was a mess.
And yeah, this player may end up at Florida anyway after a year or two at Jackson State, you know, if he qualifies and gets through some schooling and is a good enough player to play here. But, no, nobody stole a Florida recruit to go to Jackson State, okay? No, that,
yeah. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. We got another Facebook Live here. John says he went and watched Baker Hawthorne last night. Baker's run game provided too much for them. Hats off to Cornelius Ingram and his crew. Yeah. They came up a little short, but, man, what a magical run for the Hornets.
It really was. And they've had a great year as an athletic department, you know, winning the basketball championship too.
And girls and boys.
Right. Well, that's right. I was going to say boys and girls both took the state championship, and here they were playing for a football title. Man, that's just a great story for those kids. They should celebrate, you know, the year they've had and just be very proud of themselves. I agree.
Yep. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We are the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has 5 convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank, member FDIC.
Yeah.
So, JC,
I'll tell you.
Let me just get you before we're going to get Brian Edwards whenever he can join us.
Okay.
My question to you is: tonight 60%. Is the Big Ten, and you told me that you heard that Ohio State made a positive test.
So, sources. I mean, I was reading Clay Travis on his Outkick podcast said that Rick Neuheisel was reporting. Rick Neuheisel is a former UCLA coach who works for CBS now and does a show called Full Ride on Sirius Satellite Radio. It's all about college football and college sports in general. And he was saying that one of the two wide receivers for Ohio State, stud wide receivers, is in danger of testing positive. I don't know what that means. I mean, either you do or you don't. But that's what the intimation was. And I mean, until they say, yeah, this guy's out or this guy's not out, you really don't know. But that came up yesterday. So, I mean, we're not spreading rumors here. We're just reporting what we've heard, and that's what I heard. And, you know, it's scary for Ohio State. They have to play this game. They know they have to play this game in order to get into the Final Four. They have been, skating on thin ice, QB, with 5 games, right? I mean, half the amount of games that Alabama and Florida will have played, basically, and some of the other schools. So I know that they have to play. One guy getting a positive COVID-19 test does not mean they all have COVID-19 tests, but you know how it is, and it's scary for them. I don't know. I mean, so far nothing has come out that says that game won't be played, but it is something that was stated publicly yesterday.
Well, let's find out here. We got another special guest joining us today here on the Titan MR Hotline, coming to you from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Brian Edwards, he's a senior handicapper at VegasInsider.com and managing editor at MajorWager.com. He's a Florida grad, and he's going to join us here, JC, when we get to our picks.
Right.
Good morning, Brian.
Right.
How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. What's happening? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We appreciate you getting up early and joining us. Real quick, you cover a lot of college sports, follow it and everything. What are you hearing out of Auburn? Because – you know, it's amazing to me that they're going to pay a guy $21 million and walk down the hallway and hire a defensive coordinator. Is that what you're hearing?
Yes. And 9-36 at Baylor from 99 to 2002, his only head coaching stint. And now, granted, before Art Briles, you know, nobody exactly thrived at Baylor for the 2-3 four decades before that, but it just is baffling. Just in, for what it's worth, and I'm not saying it's worth a lot, but the offshore's open, Hugh Freeze is the favorite, and I frankly thought he would be the number one target. And if not, I was thinking, you know, Sark, maybe even see if Lane Kiffin would do a turn and burn on Ole Miss, which I doubt would have happened. I think he's matured a lot since bolting on Tennessee in that fashion. But this was Monday, and about halfway through the day, the offshores changed Cristobal to the favorite instead of Freeze. And then within hours of that, they made Kevin Steele not only the favorite, but almost the even money favorite. Now, they've taken it off the board now, but, you know, all the beat writers from Auburn that I follow on Twitter, I haven't talked to any of them, but most of their reporting seems to be centered on Steele, which is baffling to me. I would compare that to Ron Zook, Jim McElwain, Derek Dooley hires, and it's, you know, the worst in the SEC the last couple of decades, if that comes to fruition.
Brian John Cornell here with you. Brian, what is Kevin Steele the kind of guy that the boosters are pushing, or is Kevin Steele the kind of guy that Auburn is settling for? Why do they want Kevin Steele? I mean, there has to be something internal to Auburn that could you shed some light on for us, because that's crazy.
Yeah, he's got two or three things going for him. One, and I had been told this by a source, and Brandon Marcello, he's a national writer now, but he was on the Auburn beat for at least 10 or 15 years. Right. He reported Monday that there's one of the big, you know, multi-million dollar donors who's pushing hard for Kevin Steele. But then he threw out the caveat that, I don't know if everybody's on the same page too. But I know that a couple things he would have going for him is, you know, they got to pay Gus, what, like 10.5 or somewhere in that neighborhood in the next 30 days, and then 21 total. But to pay off the entire staff, I've heard, is like going to be like $30 million. And wow. So they can save, I guess, nine-ish million, keep most of the current staff. And obviously you're not buying out Steele, you're not buying out some of the staff, and continuity with players who apparently pissed off, you know, that they fired Gus. And it didn't show the other day on National Signing Day, but maybe keep this recruiting class together a little bit. But other than that, I don't know what he's got for him at all.
Have you heard anything about the Art Browse? You mentioned Art, and I remember hearing something about Texas Tech, maybe, that he would be looking at Texas Tech, or they would be looking at him. Is Art Briles a possibility for a school?
I think he's too toxic, but I did see whatever you saw.
Texas Tech?
But I feel like the next day I saw another headline, and I've been way busier with other stuff than to be worried about Texas Tech. I didn't even click the story, but I did see a headline. I feel like it was the day after that said Wells is going to be retained and stay at Texas Tech. So maybe they explored that and got some kickback.
A lot of folks have – that thing with Art Briles is funny, because a lot of folks said he was just a scapegoat for all the problems at Baylor. But regardless, he didn't last. So here we go into championship weekend, Brian. Are you ready for this? I mean, this is the weekend we've been waiting for, and we've got so many good matchups. Tell us a little bit about what you do and how you've done this year picking these games.
Man, I was having a really good season in the NFL and college until about 4 weeks ago. So I'm at VegasInsider.com, where we had 36 NFL handicappers, and I had an 8-0 weekend if we count Thursday and Monday Night Football.
Oh, man.
That brought me to 60%. I was number one out of 36 guys. And then I went on one of the – probably the – I've been handicapping. It's all documented on Vegas Insider since 2002. I probably had the worst three-week slump I've ever had. And it was college and pro. It was an absolute bloodbath the wrong way for me. I kind of righted the ship and went 4-2-1 in college last week, but 2-3 in the NFL. So I've been slumping hard for a month, but – I was at 60% NFL and about 56% in college. until a month ago. Here, I'll pull up my record now.
Well,
I'm barely at 500 in college right now. I might be a few games below. I'm pulling it up now.
Well, JC, what is your record? What's your record right
well,
now?
Well, I mean, I don't like tooting our horn, but actually, I do like it. I actually love it. Okay, so Brian, we are Shane and I doing basically 10 to 12 picks every Friday. We pick college games and one or two NFL games, and I have hit 68%, going 73-50, and QB is at 66-57. So we've been pretty fortunate so far picking some of these games, but we've had, I think, some easy ones to pick because I just go through the SEC mostly, and a lot of these blowout spreads are coming in, especially with Alabama, of course, and lately with the Georgia Bulldogs, right? And then, you know, you come in with some crazy pick that some guy here on this program says the Washington football team might just outright win that game at Pittsburgh after their performance on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas. So, Brian, we've had a pretty good run here.
Pretty good, but ass, man. If you were 68% in December, you should be in some contest out in Vegas, brother, because you could be making some serious coin.
So, JC, you're tearing things up. It's now time for the Peachland. It's now time for the Peachland Dentistry, Gator Nation's number one choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte and surrounding areas. Time for the JC and QB weekend picks.
Oh, God.
And,
I'm getting there.
We're going to let Brian pick them with us. So yeah. What's the first game you got on the board there?
Okay. Well, I'm all messed up right now because I'm trying to get the picture back. Here we go. Okay. I was so excited when Brian said I should be out there in Vegas with all the great ones. But, okay, let's go, Brian. Here we go, my man. We're going to start with some of these championship games, and we're going to go with Marshall getting it started with UAB, laying the 4.5. Now, we take our lines off the Score Mobile app. That's how we get our picks lined up, and the lines that we use, the spreads that we use, there are so many different sources you can use, obviously, as you know. But we go with this Score Mobile app because Shane and I both have it. And tonight in the Conference USA Championship game, Marshall is laying 4.5. Against UAB, had a great season going on until they laid an egg against Rice. So I don't know, Brian, we're gonna let you get it started, and I'm gonna keep your record this weekend as well, and you're gonna pick these games with us. What do you say,
man? I'm gonna pick it with you guys right now, but it didn't make the cut of my games, you know, that I have on Vegas Insider, but I lean Marshall here. You know, they were -4 in turnover margin in that game against Rice, but that was an unfathomable loss. I mean, they were 7-0.
Unbelievable.
Rice was without their starting quarterback, Mike Collins, who in three games had a 10-1 TDINT ratio, and the Owls win by 20 as a 24.5-point dog.
Shocking.
Yeah, but UAB, you know, they struggled. They were down most of the game at Rice last week. They did rally, did not cover, but rallied.
All right.
You know, it's been a little tough, you know, because UAB was off for a month, and it's been a little tough to find out. I know they only dressed out, I know it was less than 50 scholarship players last week. I would think they're probably closer to full strength, but it's just kind of hard to find that info. Kind of like Mullen, man. I mean, I'm a Gator, so I'm fine with Mullen being Belichick-esque, but it's hard to find out anything on Gator players, and there's not a whole lot out there on UAB. So I will lean and go with Marshall. Wells threw 5 interceptions against Rice. That was uncharacteristic. He has a 16-7 TDINT ratio for the year. So,
Okay. So Marshall. We got you with Marshall. We're going to do 12 games. So we're going to ramble through them. Here we go. Oregon, the Ducks.
But hang on, JC. We have to pick the game, dude.
Well, we both took Marshall, I thought. Or did we not say
that? I just took Marshall. But I want to let everybody know that we have Antonio Langham coming up in about 10, 15 minutes.
Here we go.
So we got to roll through these, JC.
Okay, here we go. Oregon Ducks +3, USC. I got the Trojans.
I'll take the Trojans as well.
I'll take the Trojans as well. They've covered 3 in a row, and Oregon has lost back-to-back on the road, 0-3 ATS slide, and it's at home. It's at the Coliseum rather than Santa Clara like usual.
But Cristobal needs a win. Texas A&M laying 14 against Tennessee. We're going to the SEC. We're going to do all those games too, Brian, real quick, because our viewers love the SEC. I'm going to take Texas A&M only because I hate laying that number. It's a big number. But Tennessee is wrapping it up, and I think A&M has to stay impressive for the committee. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the Aggies try to blow them out. I think this is actually going to be Jeremy Pruitt's last game, in my opinion.
Wow, that's a big note.
I completely agree with Shane. I think Pruitt takes a pink slip before lunch on Sunday. Jimbo, since he got A&M, they are 5-0 against the spread as road favorite. Kellen Mond, 18-2 TDINT ratio. Not impressed with the Vols.
All right. We got LSU coming off the big win, getting 2 against Mississippi. I'm taking Mississippi, even though they haven't played a lot. I know LSU was hot with their big win, but I love what Lane Kiffin does. Give me the Rebels. I know it's on the road.
Where's this game being played at, JC?
In Baton Rouge.
This game.
Okay,
is
I'm going to go with the LSU Tigers coming off the win because I'm concerned with Ole Miss has several of their key players not playing in this game.
That's a good point, but they're laying 2 for some reason.
Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead, Brian.
I would have gone with Ole Miss, but I noticed late last night that Elijah Moore and Kenny Yeboah opted out. And without Elijah Moore and Yeboah and a little bit of momentum from last week, I'll go LSU.
Big 12 championship game, Oklahoma, prior losers to Iowa State. You mentioned Matt Campbell earlier in the show. I got the Cyclones sporting up right now. They are getting 5.5, and they've never – I don't think he's lost to Oklahoma, so let's take Iowa State again. I'm taking the points. What do you got?
Well, it just seems too easy that, you know, Iowa State an underdog. Seems like they always upset Oklahoma. I think it's time for the Sooners to win. I'm going to go out on a limb here, and I'm going to take Lincoln Riley and the Sooners.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Iowa State. They've been an underdog 31 times under Matt Campbell, and they're 20-10-1 against the spread, and I just trust Brock Purdy a little bit more than Rattler. Purdy's got 7 touchdown passes without an interception in the last 3 games. I think it's a toss-up game who wins outright, so I'll take the 5.5-point dog.
Another team that hasn't played recently is Cincinnati, but they have to lay 2 touchdowns, 14.5 points, to the Tulsa Golden Hurricane, who should be called the Tulsa Tornadoes, because you can't have a hurricane in Oklahoma, but that's what they are. So let's take the Bearcats. I don't know how many Bearcats are roaming through Cincinnati either, but I'm taking the Bearcats. I'm taking the Bearcats because I just love the way they are physical, and I think they are there to finish the season undefeated. I hate laying that kind of number. I don't care. I'm taking Cincinnati.
I'm going to take Tulsa. I think Tulsa only has 1 loss, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have their schedule in front of me, but that was the opening game against Oklahoma State that they probably should have won. I'll take the points and take the Golden Hurricane Tornadoes.
Okay.
Yeah, Tulsa, that was their only outright loss in Stillwater, and their only non-cover was that that win on a Friday night against East Carolina, but they've covered every other game. And another game where we're not really sure about COVID because the Bearcats haven't been able to play the last 2 weeks. So I'll go Tulsa catching was it 14 or 14.5?
14.5.
I'll definitely take Tulsa.
I knew you would. I just had to take Cincinnati because I knew you guys were taking Tulsa. Okay, now speaking of COVID, there was a remark by Rick Neuheisel on his show yesterday. Clay Travis reiterated that on Outkick. Ohio State possibly could have a dangerous situation with a wide receiver. I don't know if you know anything or could shed some light on that for us, Brian, but Ohio State is laying 21 points against Northwestern. I love Northwestern's story. I think it's great. They don't have the horses to hang with Ohio State. Ohio State could have covered against Indiana this year, failed to do so, but Indiana had a quarterback. Northwestern, to me, offensively can't keep up. I'm going to take the Buckeyes. What do you know about that story with those wide receivers? Anything, Brian?
Not much. I mean, I saw whatever the AP story was yesterday, but I think it would take 4 or 5 starters being out. I just don't think that Northwestern's got the offense. I'll lay the points for the Buckeyes.
Well, I'm going to go different. I'm going to go just because I despise the Ohio State issue.
Yes, you do. You do.
I'm going to root for Northwestern. And the only reason I think Northwestern can keep it close is because of their quarterback. Usually they have terrible quarterback play. But the transfer from Indiana is giving them a spark. I think they lose the game, but somehow lose by 20.
Brian, Shane's one of those guys that stands in the corner at the Bellagio or something like the old Riviera or Stardust on the Strip, and he's the guy that wears the Iowa shirt because he came from Iowa, and he's going to root like hell for the Hawkeyes to beat Penn State, even though they have
what
no choice.
What does that have to do with me picking Northwestern
because
over
Ohio
State?
Because you hate
Ohio State.
Because you are doing it all about feelings. Feelings, feelings, feelings for Shane.
I thought Shane was from Pascagoula, no?
Exactly.
He is, he's like that guy you see at the Stardust before they
– Oh, I got you. Okay.
That's what I'm saying. All right, let's go with let's go into the ACC, Brian. This game we've all been waiting for, the rematch with Clemson and Notre Dame. I really would love to see Notre Dame pull it off. I'm Catholic, but that shouldn't really matter. I think Notre Dame is a team that's had a wonderful season, but I have a bad feeling it's going to end up pretty bad here in Charlotte. They'll still get in, but Clemson is going to play their way in with Trevor Lawrence. I'm going to take them laying the 10.
Gosh, this is tough for me. I know that they were missing a lot of key players up the middle on defense when they played. I just think Notre Dame's going to keep it close. I think Clemson wins the game, but I'm going to take the Irish as much as I hate Notre Dame as well.
Okay, all right.
I'm 100% with what Shane just said. That the Notre Dame team is really – I mean, if you had asked me 5 or 6 weeks ago, I would have said Clemson all the way. But this Notre Dame team has grown on me, and I was even more impressed than the win over Clemson – by the way, they handed Boston College a couple of turnovers in the first quarter, but then ended up, you know, putting it to them really good. Boston College was playing really well at that point. And then what they did to North Carolina's offense in the second half, those two games impressed me as much, if not more so. So I think Clemson wins, but I'll go Notre Dame as a double-digit dog.
Clemson inside of 10. That brings us to the SEC Championship, where this number kind of exploded because of what happened last week in Gainesville. I thought we were looking at a 10-point, maybe a 9-point spread. We've gone up to 17 now. Brian, this is tough because I went to and graduated from Alabama. I also did graduate work at Florida. I love them both. I've been to every SEC championship game except this one between these two schools, and I am a big fan of these two schools, and this is a tough one. But Alabama, to me, you know, I picked against them earlier in the season when they were laying these big numbers. I swore I'd never do it again because I lost, so I'm going to stay with them, the alma mater. I'm going to lay the 17. I know it's probably a loser. There's probably no doubt that's a loser, but I'm doing it so Shane can catch up on me.
Well, I actually think Alabama's going to cover this as much as
okay.
I mean, I do because I don't think we can stop them. I think the only way we can win this game is if we get three stops where they force either their turnovers or punts. And I think we're going to, you know, I hope I'm 100% wrong, but I look at and I think it's going to be more low scoring than people think. I think it's going to be like a 48-20 type game.
Total 74. Total is 70.
I'm picking 48 to 20 is my score.
So you're going under. I'm going to do that too. Let's do the score. I'm going to say over. You've got the under. What do you say, Brian?
Well, it's the highest total of the year for Florida, and it matches Alabama's highest total. So that's kind of a red flag. And it's the highest total in SEC championship game history by 12.62 is the previous high. My preference on the side and the total is over 74. When Florida played two offenses that are not as lethal, obviously, as Alabama's, but elite offenses, it was 41-38 to A&M for 79 combined and 51-35 for 86 combined against Ole Miss. And you look at who Alabama's played since the 48-point output by the Rebels. I mean, they played two true freshman quarterbacks. They played Terry Wilson. They played Garantano. They played Bo Nix on the road. Franks with messed up ribs. I think we're going to score a lot on them, and I think it'll go over. And look, if they get ahead of the number, the back door will be open. I mean, Florida can score.
Yeah.
So I like Florida, but I like over 74 more so.
Okay, gotcha.
Hey, Brian, yes, we really appreciate you joining us today. I want you to let all our listeners know how they can check your workout, follow you on Twitter, all that good stuff. Let them know.
I want to know, too.
Well, hey, thanks so much for having me, guys. And I'm around anytime. I'd love to join you again if you'll have me. And I'm on Twitter at Vegas B Edwards. And my picks are at VegasInsider.com. And all my content is at majorwager.com. But I also write a lot of SEC. And if any of your listeners are into UFC, I write all the pay-per-views for VegasInsider.com. Wow. Thanks a bunch for having me, gentlemen. Awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so JC, he wants to be your intern.
Well, I want JC's 68% record. Yeah, maybe we need to flip those roles, actually. But yeah.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Brian. Thank you so much, buddy.
Gentlemen,
take
thank
care, Brian.
You.
Appreciate
have a great
it, buddy.
Weekend.
Yep, you too. All right, JC. We're going to take our first time out of the pro. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Alabama number 43 from that national championship team, some guy named Antonio Lane.
Some guy.
You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We'll be right back.
This is Shane Matthews. Thank you for listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. You can also check me out on Inside the Huddle with Steve Russell and the head ball coach, Steve Spurrier. Tune in every Tuesday during football season on WRUF 98.1 FM, 850 AM at 10 o'clock in the morning, or find us on your favorite podcast platform. We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Ribs, Doreen Wiebe, Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Miapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gator's Dockside, Radware for all your promotional needs, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Dar Shakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to this Friday edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with a vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. December is your lucky month at Wrap Spot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. We're now going to go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're going to head to the state of Alabama, and we're joined by the national champ back in 1992, Mr. Antonio Langham. Good morning, Antonio. How are you, buddy?
Good, buddy. How y'all doing today? Good to talk to you this morning.
Yeah, doing great. Hey, I wanted to get you on. Obviously, we'll talk about this Alabama team this year, but let's go back, 28 years ago, dude. We're old. 28 years ago, on that cold night in Birmingham at Legion Field. First, I want you guys, because I talked to Jay Barker on the show earlier in the week. You know, you guys were undefeated. I don't know if you were number one or number two in the polls back then, but they came up with the idea of the SEC championship game. And, you know, coaches did not want to play this because you have to play an extra game in the toughest conference in the country that could knock you out of a national title hopes. And you guys were undefeated. We'd had three losses. And here come the Florida Gators. Y'all got to play us, which we – pretty much dominated y'all the previous year in the swamp. What was y'all's mindset going into this game?
Man, honestly, that was Shane. That was a tough week for us getting ready for you guys. But yeah, you know, I mean, hey, y'all guys had lost three games, but y'all were still a very, very, very good football team, and it was a stress level like no other, especially for our defensive coordinator, Coach Oliver. It was something about getting ready to play Spurrier that just drove him crazy. And all week it was just, he was just animated and everything was wrong. Nothing was ever right. We make a play at practice, it still wasn't right. And I'm sitting here like, man, look, if we just didn't have to play this game, number one, we wouldn't have to listen to him yell 24/7. I believe he was yelling in his sleep at times. We wouldn't have to listen to this. We'd just be getting ready to play a national championship game, but it was there. It was scheduled, and we had to play. And we were concerned. We were very concerned about you guys, even though, like I said, you guys lost three games. Y'all were still a very, very good football team, and we knew it. And we had to just get our mindsets right, and we had to go into the game realizing that we were going to have a dogfight. We never one time figured this was going to be an easy game, no matter what our record were. We knew they had a very, very, very good quarterback in Shane Matthews. So we knew that. We knew that, number one. And y'all had you had a running back in Eric Redd, and you had receivers. You had receivers around you, guy, man. Y'all very good defense. And just imagine now, a year prior to that, we couldn't even put a point on the board in the Swamp.
Right.
Everybody on our team still wants to give us 7 points that night. I said, look, man, every time we talk about the game, I said, look, stop trying to find a touchdown in that game. We did not have a touchdown that night, so don't even try to find a touchdown. I thought it was 7-0 at halftime. No, sir. I don't know what game you were looking at. I don't know what game you were participating in, but it wasn't a touchdown on the board that night.
Yeah, so you go back to that game. You guys were up 21-7. We battled back. We tied up and obviously get the ball back with a little over – right around 2 minutes left. And obviously we ran the little smash route, and I made a bad decision. The route was run a little too deep, and you kind of snuck behind the receiver, picked it off. You know, and I think I've told you this before, Antonio, you know, quarterbacks, we throw a ton of interceptions, whether it's in high school, college, pro, or whatever. Do you realize that's the only – interception I ever had run back for a touchdown in my career? And you know, either I made the tackle or one of my teammates always made the tackle. And I thought I was going to have you, but you cut back and I slipped on the frozen turf and you walked into the end zone. But it was a heck of a play on your part.
Man, that was a great game, man. And listen, I know that one play, everybody defines the whole game, man. But we, for our defense, if you gave us a two touchdown spot, usually it was a ball game. Usually we could hang on and win 21-7. But we couldn't rest on y'all. Like I say, man, y'all were very good, and we couldn't rest on y'all, man. We jump up 21-7, and I'm like, oh, this is enough point spread for us against with our defense, and you guys just kept coming, and I was like, we on the sideline, the defense, we like, man, when these guys go away, would they please just go away? Would they just shut it down and say they're duff? But yeah. I knew that was not in a Spurrier football team. There was no quit. So, man, look, and everybody wants to say, man, did you realize that game had that many implications? No. We knew that game had one major implication, and that if we didn't win, we wasn't going to New Orleans to play the national championship game. I didn't know that 20-some years later, it would have this many implications, that actual game. We were trying to get to New Orleans. And yeah, I know we did the filming of that show, and we were talking about it. You told me that's the only interception I had returned for me, returned on me for a touchdown. And I listened, saying it was nothing against you. I needed to get in the end zone that day, because if I didn't, I don't think we were going to be able to at any other point. And that game.
Yeah. No, you know what's funny about that documentary, and if people didn't get to see it, they run it every year. It's called the Play That Changed College Football, and it's one of the first 30-30s ESPN ever did. But what people don't realize, when we were filming that in Birmingham, you dropped the ball like three times.
Well, the problem with that was, say, you still had some left in that arm, and you hummed it out there a couple of times, and an old man with old hands like me nowadays, man, where I don't need to kick the football.
Antonio, speaking of that Alabama defense in 1992, a lot of people think that is maybe the greatest assembled college defense of all time, because all 11 of you guys, I think, were drafted at some point. You had Copeland and Curry, Lemanski Hall, right. UT, and there's some other guys I'm leaving off of there. You've been around college ball, pro ball, and you've kept up with Alabama. Do you think that's the best Alabama defense and maybe the best college defense of all time?
Oh, of course. You know, I'm going to be biased and say yes. You know, and Bama's had some really good defenses come through there, and I'm pretty sure college football has really, really had some good defenses come through. But it was just – that defense wasn't good just because we had – a lot of talent around each other, and it was a lot of talented guys on that field that day, man. Shane, I tell people all the time, man, that defense had more chemistry than any other group I've ever played with in my life, from high school to college, I mean, to the pros. I have never played on a defense with that much chemistry like we had, man. We were totally in tune with each other. I mean, totally in tune. You on the game night, if it's not going good, there was not bickering. There was no going, jawing back and forth at each other, guys yelling at each other. It was just like encouragement, man. That defense, we had a book open and we all were on the same page, man. And I tell people, that's what makes that defense so great. That's why, I mean, guys can get into it at practice, and then you go to the dorm to eat dinner, and the same guy that went into it at practice, all sitting together at the table, laughing and joking and eating together, man. When you find that kind of chemistry in a group, man, especially in a defense, you're setting yourself up to see something real special, man. And that's what we had, man, to this day. And it is great because all the guys that were on that team, man, and especially on that defense, we all keep in touch with each other, man. We all talk, we all call to check on each other, man. So you can't beat it when you got that kind of chemistry, man.
That's awesome. At Chris Doering Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doering Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. We're speaking with Antonio Langham, former All-American at Alabama, on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. I got a text here from Joe on the Titan Tomorrow text line. He wants to know, Antonio, who is better, Shane and his Florida offense or Geno and the Miami Hurricane offense?
All day long. Shane, you and your offense all day long. I'm telling you, y'all had a very complicated and systematic offense that y'all ran, and y'all had so many options, man. Y'all hit us with that the shovel pass all night, man. The shovel pass killed us all night. Yeah. We could not figure out how to stop that. You would set up, man, and we would come with that rush and Curry and Copeland would get up the field. And you just shoveled it right to Eric Redd, man. And that was a good offensive scheme, man. And we could not stop that shovel pass for nothing in the world. I don't know if we were just getting up the field too far. And then with Miami and Geno, those guys, man, you just knew you had home run hitters. So everything was just down the field. You had Kevin Williams. You got Lamar Thomas. You got Horace Copeland. You knew majority of their offense was, let's try to get the speed down the field and then just try to hit home runs against that defense. And like I heard my guy Ty Law say one time when they were getting ready to play St. Louis, the Rams, in the Super Bowl, he said, what good is speed if it can't get behind you? You know?
That's true.
So, and our job was just to keep all this speed in front of us, man, and attack. And their offense was nowhere close to being as high tech and as complicated to defend as y'all offense was, man.
Yeah. When you look at that 92 national championship magical year, I mean, obviously there's two plays in my mind that stand out, and I didn't watch all y'all's games, but it was your interception against me that got y'all to the national title game. But then I guess it was George Teague taking that ball from Lamar, right? Because Lamar's a good – Lamar watches our show all the time. I've had him on as a guest, so I give him crap about that all the time.
And that was a big play. And, you know, people always say that was the play that never counted. But that play actually changed it changed the momentum of the game tremendously. We were attacking, and offensively we were on. I mean, that particular night, all three phases of our football team were working that night: offense, defense, special team. And it's just when George made that play, it was such a momentum swing. And as fast as Lamar is, and I mean, I tell you, those guys, they did a lot of talking during leading up to the championship game. But that actual play, it turned the momentum so much that honestly, Miami couldn't recover from it. And when you take a team's momentum that much until the point where that momentum swings that much to until a team can recover from it. It was just a matter of us just sticking to what we were doing and just finishing the game, man.
Yeah. All right, let's fast forward. Nick Saban comes there, multiple national titles, best recruiting classes year in and year out. Let's talk about this team this year. In my opinion, offensively, it's the best, the most balanced college offense I've ever seen. It's by far the best offense Alabama's ever had. When you watch Mac Jones and Najee Harris and all those receivers with Deontay Smith, what do you see from a defensive standpoint? Are they that good?
Yes. Yes, they are. I'm asked the question all the time. If your defense had to play against them now, what would y'all do against those guys? Look, I tell them, I don't even know at this point what you could do to them. I guess about the best thing you could hope for is that Copeland and Curry and James Gregg, those guys we have up front, if they could get a lot of pressure on Mac Jones and just make him very uncomfortable in the pocket. Right now, their offense starts up front saying, and you know this, man, he is being protected so well, man. It's just like, it's just like he could put up a recliner chair, just lay back and throw the football. It's just that comfortable in the pocket for him, man. And then when you have speed like we have outside with Devontae and Mechie and those guys, man, and you don't even have Waddle in the mix. And it's like you're picking your poison. If I run zone coverage against them, then he's just gonna sit there and pick us apart. If we play man, the speed of Devontae and them just gonna run by us and hit us deep. Then you got Najee back there, and if you take away all that, then you're opening yourself up. You take away the passing game, now you're opening yourself up to be vulnerable for the run, which then you got to deal with a man child and Najee, man. It's with Bama right now, and I hate to say it, it's almost like pick your poison. Take away the passing game, here comes the running game at you. Take away the running game, here's the passing game. If I'm a coordinator, I think I'll take my chances on setting pressure to every play and playing a zone coverage behind. I'm running the fire zone all night. I'm just going to send pressure at you and put zone coverage in behind it and hope that our pressure can get there more than just make him uncomfortable in the pocket, I think. And then he hasn't been uncomfortable in the pocket all year.
No, you're right. I got another question here on the Titan MR text line. Daryl wants me to ask Antonio, were Coach Stallings' practices extremely hard?
You know, actually, yes and no. It depended on how we were going at that time. But Coach Stallings, he came from the NFL, so he had a different type of mentality about practice. I don't need to be out here 3 and 4 hours to get something done. I'm gonna treat you like grown men. I expect you to act like grown men. I expect you to one from when the whistle blows, we go from one drill to the next. We're moving fast, and we're gonna have NFL type practice. If you move fast and everything is done at an up tempo, and we're moving, we didn't stay out there long. He didn't believe in crazy long practices unless we just out there. They decided on that day to just go out there and just mess around all day. Then practice would be long, but he believed in, you know, fast, quick, crisp practices, man. And I think going to a lot of games, man, we were fresh because of that. We didn't have long, crazy drawn out practices that wore on us a lot.
Yep. We got a few more minutes here with Antonio Langham here from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Antonio, I want to ask you this because, you know, the game of college football and pro football has changed. The rules are favoring the offense now. How hard is it, especially for a defensive back, you know, because the Gators have struggled a little bit this year, especially on the back end. But I try to tell people, look, man, if you can't pressure the quarterback, it's hard to cover because you can't get physical receivers. DBs are scared to be physical because, you know, if they go after a wideout when the ball's in the air, it's probably going to be targeting. They're going to get thrown out of the game. In your mind, how hard is it to play defensive back in the college game today?
It is very hard to play it nowadays. And the kids, and you watch football, Shane, and you're watching and I'm watching, everybody's watching it, man. These kids defensively, they have no idea what to do anymore, man. They don't know how to tackle anymore. they don't know. They're trying to be taught different ways to tackle than what they've been doing all their life. So they coming in to hit a receiver down the sideline. They don't know if to turn the shoulder, how to get the head out of it. They're trying to figure out, how do I keep my head out of it and make the tackle, man? It just, and I understand because of the concussions and CTE and all this stuff that has come about as far as football is concerned, man. But at some point, you got to just understand football is football. And when you're running at a high rate of speed and you make contact with somebody, heads are going to fly. Bodies are going to go all different ways, man. I think this targeting rule has just really, it's really gotten out of hand. And now it's like chicken fighting down the field, but then the defensive guys are getting called. And so now defensive back coaches are going through different options of trying to figure out how to teach the kid how to play the ball downfield without using your hands. I mean, I coach high school football, and what I do with my defensive backs is I put some days at practice, I'll put tennis balls in their hands, and I'll just make them practice with tennis ball to try to keep them from grabbing and tucking and pulling down the field and just play with your eyes, your feet, and reading hips, man, down the field. It's so crazy, man. You have no clue what to do. You don't even know what to tell. They need to fix that. They need to fix that targeting rule. I'm tired of that targeting rule, man.
I agree, and I'm a quarterback, and I don't like to get hit, but some of these pass roughing the passer things are ridiculous. Last couple things here, Antonio. When you look at this Florida offense, very explosive with Kyle Trask, but I am so anxious to see what Saban does because, you know, on the back end, he does some extravagant type combo coverages and all kinds
of
NFL type stuff. If Kyle Pitts plays the 6'6 tight end who has unbelievable body control and great hands, I'm anxious to see what Saban tries to do to him. You got any thoughts of what you may try to do to him?
If he plays, man, and I'm pretty sure he'll have that jersey on come Saturday, tomorrow. You got to figure out a body that big. Y'all will move him around, and I don't think it'll be a good matchup if he's in the slot a lot for Malachi. He just won't be big enough to try to cover him. Now, not saying that he can't, he just won't be big enough. I think it'll be a lot of just throw it up and let him go up and get it against him. So I think you try to match up with one of your bigger guys. Maybe you match up Patrick Surtain, who's about 6'1", 6'2", try to match him up with Pitts a lot more, man. But I like Trask, man. I really do, and I like Mullen's offense, man. The only thing that happened in Florida was, man, and it happens sometimes, Shane, Florida got caught looking at Alabama when they play LSU. And they wasn't sure about it. It's hard to figure out LSU. You got guys opting out all of a sudden in the week of, I'm not going to play. So some of your key guys are not playing. So as a football team, you just start to think, well, they're losing everybody. So we should be able to get it going to this one, win this game without having to do too much. And then you find yourself in the team with nothing to lose. And you're already looking ahead to the Giant and you find yourself in a situation that you should have never been in. Because Florida is too good for the LSU to really have been on the field with them like that and to win that game.
Yeah, I agree, man. Well, time flies, my man. It's good catching up with you. I'm still waiting on my national championship ring you boys promised me that y'all were supposed to send me. But we'll talk to you down the road, Antonio. Good luck to the Crimson Tide. And be safe, my man.
Hey, you too, man. Appreciate it, man. Good luck to Florida, man. Let's make it a good, exciting SEC championship game tomorrow, man.
No doubt about it. That's Antonio Langham joining us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline at Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free annual maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchased at $199 value. Our service department is available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week for your convenience. This day in sports in 1959, Sammy Ball was named the first coach of the New York Titans. Sammy Ball played for the Redskins. Folks, that's going to be it for today. Enjoy all the championship games. Hopefully the Gators can find a way to beat the mighty giant of the Crimson Tide. It's going to be tough, but it can happen. I hope it does. Be safe out there. We'll see you on Monday. Take care.